Hello everyone, and I want to start in the book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God, which you've given. The word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the joints and the marrows. Father, I thank you right now for the signet ring anointing. Father, I thank you for the word of God, which you've spoken to your servant and to my our fellow brother, Pastor Mike Signorelli, about a time of upheaval or a time of earth birth pangs, so to speak, of the earth, that humanity will be groaning and crying out, but you have given us grace, you have given us time and space as intercessors to groan and cry out first and rewrite history, change history. Father God, I thank you for the urgency, Lord, with which you said no. I want you to preach this message immediately on kissing God. So it's a day 14 of the Book of Mysteries. Let me see what it's called here. Oops, it somehow went backward too far. It's just called Kissing God. So, Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Father, I thank you for the ability to articulate the Word of God in a way that you want me to articulate it, so that we can have both natural and supernatural ears to hear what thus saith the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, John 4, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. All right, I'm going to stop there. The woman, you know, keep in mind that the Jews had, and Samaritans had enmity against one another, you know. There was one point in the Bible where the Samaritans had rejected the disciples of Jesus, and at least the way it's portrayed in The Chosen, James and John had asked Jesus, you know, shall we send fire from heaven like Elijah did to burn them up? And Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. I'm just going based off of memory from a lot of this, but so there was an enmity there. And Verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give, that I shall give him, will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of living water springing up into eternal life." Let's stop right there. I'm going to turn to the book of John, chapter 7 now. And we're going to see what this living water is that he talks about. Starting at chapter 7, verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Excuse me. That's chapter 6, I'm sorry. Chapter 7, verse 37. There we go. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, the Lord just reminded me of this again. He said, I am preparing my people for the day of Pentecost. The Lord says, "Behold, there is a day coming of which I spoke through my servants. I spoke about through my servants, the prophets, of a corporate baptism of fire, says the Lord. Prepare, for you know not what hour you are in." That's what I heard the Lord say. "Prepare, for you know not what hour you are in." Now, let's continue. Let's see. Verse 15. "So the woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not drink, and that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.' Jesus said to her, 'Go, call her your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is your husband, and that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And then, starting in verse 27, he goes on to talk about the harvest. But I want to at this point, I want to talk to you about the worship. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. I'm thinking this is where this is at. This is about the temple. This is it. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I want to stop for a minute. Now, there's coming a time when there will be a global persecution of Christians. Even here in America, you know, we cannot think that, we cannot solely adopt the teachings that the Lord gave. And I do believe that the Lord did give them to Apostles Dutch and Tim Sheets and Greg Hood and others who are in that type of company. We cannot solely adopt that because within, you know, there's very little mention. There's mention of hardship, how to deal with times of crisis, but there's not a lot of knowledge or not a lot of teaching about how to endure persecution. But in fact, there's a fighting spirit against allowing that to come forward. But I hear the Lord saying that there is a time where he said, unless the intercessors pray. Hold on, I'm praying because I want to make sure I'm prophesying this the way the Lord wants it to be spoken. Jesus said that in the book of John that the world hated him, and so it's going to hate us. And you got to remember, we are not of this world. And so as Christians, I mean, it's great to fight for freedom, I'm not saying, and I even got a sense from the Lord that we as intercessors need to pray to try to push this back. So the Lord and I are not saying just lay down your arms and don't fight. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the Bible says, and God says, that the time has come for it to come to pass about that Christians are going to be persecuted, so there's going to be a global persecution, even in the West. Okay? So we've got to prepare that. We've got to read scripture on persecution. How you know, a lot of the things that Jesus spoke about persecution. And we cannot avoid that subject, folks. I actually hear the Lord saying, "Woe unto those, my pastors, whom I have called in this hour, who claim to preach about the kingdom, but yet fail to preach on persecution, says the Lord of hosts. For you have hurt the wound of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace, says the Lord of hosts. And behold, I'm just telling you the way I hear the Lord saying it. Behold, basically, and he said, Apostle Tim Sheets. Oh yeah, behold, Apostle Tim Sheets, I will hold you and your camp responsible for the lack of preparedness with which the body of Christ is in at this time, says the Lord. Their blood shall be on your hands if they deny the faith, because you, my faithful servants, have not preached on persecution, says the Lord. Yes, I see your many good works. I see how you press in and you fight for the nation I have called you to steward. But the Lord says, this is one thing I have against you, says the Lord. Repent and do your first works over. Hold on. I'm just going to say it the way I hear it. He says, repent and do the first works over, or I will come quickly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. And I'm speaking this out in faith, what I feel the Lord saying. But he's very stern in this hour that we have got to warn the people about persecution that is coming. Because it's coming, folks. We can't just think that we're going to pray everything away, and so therefore we don't need to warn them about anything. Yeah, we do. Because what if we prayed, let's just say, what if they experience it? I'm not going to go there about praying, because praying, there is authority in prayer. Hallelujah. So let's continue. Verse 10, and then Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee, or Judea flee to the mountain. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your light may not be in the winter pray that your fight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless these days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, there is the Christ, or there. Here is the Christ, or there. Do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightnings come from the east and flames to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And we're going to stop there. We're in the end times. But the key point about all of this is the very first verses of this chapter, our Lord admonishes that the temple is going to come down. Now, in this day and age right now, they are seeking to rebuild the temple. And it has been said that on April 30th is the end of Passover, so it's been said that toward the end of April they're going to sacrifice the red heifer. But we, the body of Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, and among other places, it says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We collectively coming together, you know, people say, I don't have to go to church because I am the church. We don't have to go to church because we are the church. Well, here's the thing. You may be the hand or the eye or the ear. I may be the mouth or I may be the face or the legs or the stomach. But if I say, well, I'm the church, I'm just a face, let's say, or I'm just an eye. So I can't do everything that Christ wants done by myself. So therefore, we have to come together as the body of Christ. And when we come together, we as the living stones make up the temple of the living God. We make up the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that is how, it's not either or, but it's both and. We are both individually living stones that make up the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then when we come together, there's a corporate anointing. There's a corporate unity. That when we come together, we're stronger together than we are apart. If we pray in faith, we're stronger praying in faith together than we are just individually. Because we are not unified when we're praying individually. But when we come together, say at a prayer sermon ceremony, or even when we're preaching, whatever. Like, for instance, Apostle Dutch Sheets has given 15 teachings every day. And what the Lord sought to do as he was having Dutch do these, give him 15s, is this is a way to get people to pray in agreement about things that are on the heart of God. And so this, and I say all this because don't think that the third temple, I mean, that system, the Old Testament system, has already been fulfilled in Christ. The temple in Jerusalem was a foretaste or a prototype of the temple which is in heaven. And you can read about this in the book of Revelation, about the temple that is in heaven. And I overlooked it so many times, I didn't even realize it until this last time that I had really begun to read Revelation. And I realized, wait a minute, there is a temple in heaven. I mean, that just blew my mind, like, wow! And so, but we are the heavenly Jerusalem. We are the bride. Those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, reading the word of God and getting to know Christ, getting to know the bridegroom, we are making ourselves ready right now. And what our brother, Apostle John, the beloved, the revelator, wrote about in Revelation 21, concerns itself with the bride that has made herself ready. It's the heavenly Jerusalem, the bride that has made herself ready. And I would encourage you to go and read that. And actually, I talked about that in the previous teaching that I did called Prophetic Word, Rebuild My House. And that's God talking. He's saying, rebuild my house. So, we'll be right back, and we're gonna go to another segment. Welcome back. Now we're gonna turn to the book of John. No, to the book of Psalms. Pardon me. Encourage you, if you're listening online, if you are legally blind and you feel like God has called you to ministry, but you're like, you know, it'd be different, let this podcast, the way the Lord has led me to do things, let it encourage you. You know, if you've got Braille Bibles and a Braille note and a phone, and you know how to Bluetooth, you know how to work it all together, then you can do a podcast, you can do YouTube, you can do anything you set your mind to. So I just wanted to, as a side note, I wanted to encourage you, those of you that may be legally blind. And the Lord told me that, you know, because one time I was listening to Daniel Kalinda, and it was a miracle, and it happened to be a miracle of someone who had been blind, and I was praying in agreement, you know, just put my hand on my eyes, prayed in the spirit, and the Lord said, okay, your healing has been secured, now just thank me for it. And so I've just been confessing, believing, I have the vision of eagles. But the reason I say that about being blind and doing ministry is because if you have, you know, it can be easy, maybe not for all, but for some, to have the mindset of a disabled person. But then others may be, as the world would call us, disabled. But we don't have that mindset. And so I just wanted to throw that in there and help you to not have that mindset. But anyway, back to the teaching. Actually, let's go to another. Now, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 2. After this, I'm going to read to you the devotional aspect of this day number 14, kissing God. Now, these scriptures here, these scriptures here that I have said thus far, now the only one was John 4, verse 24. But that's the only one, as it relates to the book of John, that I read, that it was verse 24 of chapter 4 that was on the original deal. But I wanted to, I like to let the Spirit of the Lord adapt, you know, modify it in such a way that he gets out what he wants out of it, instead of us just reading the Book of Mysteries and then reading the scriptures and letting the teaching explain itself, so to speak. I want, there may be other things that the Spirit of the Lord wants to elaborate on. Okay. Now, this is the verse that has been raging in my heart, or it's just been burning in my heart, I guess you could say, as to why I felt that the Lord wanted me originally to preach this message on day 14 of kissing God. Psalm 2, starting at verse 1. Why do the people, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. This is a season of calling, primarily in the body of Christ, calling the friends of God forward. But at this juncture, you know, if you look at Acts chapter 4, verses, I think, 26 to 31, the apostles, when they're praying, they quote this psalm, you know, why do the nations rage and the kings plot a vain thing? You know, they take their stand together against the Lord and against his anointed. And they apply that to how Pontius Pilate and the Romans and the Jewish officials had plotted to crucify our Lord, Jesus Christ. And they said, behold their threatenings. But the point I want to make is to the government officials. I steward the nation of America. But hear ye the word of the Lord, government officials. Kiss the Son while time is still left. Or kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish in the way. Now, I want us... as the body of Christ, first and foremost, but just in general, those whom this prophetic word applies, and actually I feel from the Lord, At one time it was going to be called Calling the Sons of Zadok. But I feel like the Lord is just wanting me to call it Kiss the Son. Within this word, we'll call out those in the body of Christ. That'll be one of many things that God is doing in this teaching. Calling out those in the body of Christ that really and truly want to minister to Him, and not just to people, not be addicted to ministry and things like that, but they really want to worship God. They really want to kiss the Son. Now, let's read this. This is on day 14. And I'm on iBooks, and I'm starting on page 14 in iBooks. There was a gathering in the school's open-air tent. It was a time of worship and praise. We were just outside the tent listening. What do you think of, asked the teacher. When you hear the word worship, singing, hymns, prayers, words of praise, that's the outward form of worship, he said. That's how worship manifests. But what's the heart of worship? And the student says, I don't know. There's the teacher again. I'll give you one definition, a secret. It's found in the New Covenant Scriptures. It only appears in the Greek. It's the word proskuneo. Do you know what it means? I had no answer. As that was the student, he said he didn't have any answer. The teacher says, it means to kiss. True worship is to kiss. And what does that reveal? What is a kiss? A kiss is the most intimate of acts. Therefore, worship is to be the most intimate thing you can experience. To worship God is to kiss God. In the spiritual realm, yes, to kiss from your heart, from your innermost being. And when you kiss, you don't do it because you have to. You do it freely from your heart because you want to. So true worship is never done by compulsion, but freely from the overflow of your heart. And why does one kiss? Asked the teacher. Because of joy. Yes, he said, a kiss is an expression of joy, and a kiss brings joy. So true worship is an expression of joy. You worship out of joy. Your joy becomes worship, and your worship becomes joy. Teacher, I said, we didn't say the most obvious. And the teacher says, which is? One kiss is because of one. I have love, I said. A kiss is an expression of love. It is. So then what is worship? Well, I mean, what is true worship? Worship is an expression of love. Yes, said the teacher. It's as simple as that. It's the most intimate act of love and joy. Worship is as simple as kissing God. And then the mission says to basically learn how to love God and, I'm not going to read, there's part of the mission that's missing on my book, on my iBooks, so, but you can read that. And I'm going to read to you
hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. now I'm going to read to you the scriptures. You can just write these down. These are the original scriptures that Jonathan Cahn put on this book. Psalms 42, verses 7 to 8. Song of Solomon 1, verse 2. And John 4:24. Those are the scriptures that are written in this book. So, let's see. So to the government leaders, and really to the body of Christ as a whole, you know, I heard of a sobering word this morning from Pastor Mike Signorelli, that word that I told you about, and the Lord was leading him to prophesy. It's called Urgent Word Pray Now, I think it's what it's called. And he said that there's going to be a time when humanity is going to cry out for deliverance. He said when all these things that the Lord showed him are going to happen, when all these things happen, start manifesting in the natural, he said then he's going to give people up over into a reprobate mind. Those that keep going back to the seducing spirits, keep going back to the mire, basically. He's going to give them over to a reprobate mind. And I believe that this could even apply to those. Well, I'm not going to. I'm not going to pretend to know exactly who all it applies to, but there's going to be a time. The grace of God, we are in a window of grace, and I'll just say, don't, those of you that are non-believers, and you say, well, I'll come to the Lord in my 60s or 70s, don't gamble with this. Because let's say you do have all that time. When you're 60 and 70, though, even if you have that time, the window of grace may be closed. And so today is the day of salvation. And yeah, you know, the Bible says pull some out of the fire by fear. So yeah, although I don't like scaring people, this is one of those instances where I've got to scare you. I've got to at least say some things that are going to bring the fear of the Lord. Okay? Now, what I want to do turn first of all to Song of Solomon. Back to the book, make sure that I'm getting these from the book. I just felt such an urgency. Usually I'll prepare these. And I think I said this once before. Usually I'll prepare these and then go back and preach it with the outline. But I felt today from the Lord, no, I want you to go ahead and preach this.
Yeah. Oh, it's Solomon's Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. All right. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Hang on just a sec. Okay. Start at verse 1. It's the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. It says, Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. That's what Song of Solomon 1, verse 2 says. These verses illustrate what it means to kiss God, to worship God. This Song of Solomon illustrates the heart and soul of the bride toward her bridegroom. And the bridegroom toward his bride. Some people in their commentaries say that this illustrates a romantic human relationship. But to me, what seems to be the most popular, the most, I don't know if agreed upon would be the right word, but commentary is that that this book of Song of Solomon talks it's a prophetic picture of what of Christ toward his bride, us, and us toward him, toward Christ. And so when you read it like that. Read that verse like that. That's what. So, with this instance, this verse illustrates what it means to kiss God. Okay. I'm going to start at verse 6, Psalm 42, verse 6 through 8. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock. Oh, never mind. I have you forgot. Okay, so I started to read verse 9, but Psalms 42, verses 6 through 8. Deep calls unto deep. There's another verse that says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you. And folks, this is what it means to worship God. You know, The Bible records God saying, you know, Joshua and Caleb had another spirit. You know, Caleb, Caleb followed fully after me. Worship is not just kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. You know, or singing songs of praise and spiritual psalms and melodies. It's your life. The Bible says, lay down your body as, or surrender your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Which is a reasonable service. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are ways that we are to worship with our life. In Leviticus chapter 6, it talks about how the fire of the altar never goes out. It's to never go out. Did you know, back to the temple, did you know, and I heard this on a Sid Roth interview of Mark Biltz, you know, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they tried to keep they tried to keep the fire burning on the altar in the physical temple, but it wouldn't stay lit. And there's some other supernatural signs. Just type in, the coming of Jesus has been revealed, Sid Roth interview. And lest you think like I did, I laugh, but lest you think like I did, he doesn't set a date in this interview. But you'll get to hear in this interview all the different ways that God showed himself, that he meant business, that Jesus was the Messiah. But, you know, concerning the temple. And if you're a Jew watching, I wouldn't... I'll just say it this way. No matter who you are, I encourage you to listen to this, but if you're a Jew also listening to this, I especially would consider or would ask you to watch it. I believe these are some of the signs or some of the ways that you can know that your Messiah has come. Now, when I get back, We're gonna take another break. And when I get back on this podcast, I'm gonna read to you again the book of Ezekiel chapter 44 about the sons of Zadok. Because although this is not what and I may just call it a call to wholehearted worship or something like that. But, anyway, we'll be right back. Ezekiel 44, verse 4. Also, he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple, so I looked. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house and all... mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be my sanctuary, to defile it, my house, and when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things, but you have set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigners uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. Now, there are going to be many on the day of judgment that are going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons or done many signs and numbers and wonders in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And yet Jesus will have to say to them, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And the Lord is highlighting to me today the men's conference that happened over the weekend. And the Lord says to you, John Lindell, just as he said to Aaron, I hold you responsible. Do not shift the blame. Behold, if you do not repent, what anointing you think you have, I will take from you, says the Lord. I apologize for the background noise. Let's see, what was I going to say? The Lord says, basically, he's giving me the sayings that say, repent while you still can, seek the Lord while he may be found. The Lord says, I will not be found very much longer, says the Lord. So I am calling my people to repentance, says the Lord of hosts. I am calling my people to seek me with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. I am calling my people out of entertainment church, says the Lord. Woe unto you who have itching ears and think everything is all right with me, says the Lord. For behold, I am against you, says the Lord, and unless you repent, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind, says the Lord, and give you over to the devices of evil which your heart so desires, says the Lord of hosts, unless you repent. Excuse me. Had to get me a drink. Let's go to the next point. Something it's online and I had forgotten about it because I'm not one to just go on and, you know, but I feel the Holy Spirit highlighting this. There was a video that I listened to at one point, and then I turned it off once I seen what it was. You know, I don't like call out culture. But this video showed former worship leader, now turned pastor, William Murphy, and the church that he was leading, and it was like an entertainment type culture. Now, folks, I'm saying it this way because I don't remember the activity. I had forgotten about it. But the Holy Spirit is even highlighting this, and he said, I hear him saying to William Murphy, if you turn back and do your first works over, behold, the latter glory shall be greater than the former, says the Lord. Son, I have not called you to be a pastor. But a worship leader, says the Lord. I have called you to lead the greatest worship movement in the history of the church. But the Lord says, you have veered from my destiny that I have for you, says the Lord. And if you do not repent, I will set my face against you, says the Lord, and give your calling and office to another, says the Lord of hosts. I'll be right back. Okay, so you can just look up Pastor William Murphy entertainment culture, and it'll be up there. Some videos you'll see some worship videos, but there's one by Nick Jones that I saw. But anyway, that'll kind of I guess there was some, they call it swag surfing event. But it confirmed what I remembered, which was that they had acted like the world in this church, from what I got on the comments. Anyway, on to the next part. And the Levites, and the Levites who went far from me, when Israel went astray, who strayed after me, after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. That was verse 10 of Ezekiel 44. Verse 11, yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to me before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord God, that they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near me to minister to me as priests, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has been done in it. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me, and they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. Put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go out to the inner court and the outer court to the people, they shall take off their garments and in which they have ministered, leave them in the holy chambers, and put on other garments, and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows as priests. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy they shall stand as judges, and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister may they defile themselves. After he is cleansed, they shall count 7 days for him, and on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God. It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. The best of all first fruits of any kind, and every sacrifice of any kind from all your sacrifices shall be the priest's. Also you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast, that died naturally or was torn by wild beasts. And that's the end of chapter 44. Now, those are the laws that are prescribed, I believe, even in the book of Leviticus, as to how they are to approach God. But I want you, in that chapter, go back through chapter 44 of Ezekiel, and I want you to highlight the words, or underline, bold, italicize, whatever. Make sure that they're circled, that they're underlined in such a way you see them, the words, minister to me. The sons of Zadok, and you can get more, Judgment on the House of God, Cleansing and Glory Are Coming by Jeremiah Johnson, and you'll be able to read more about this prophecy the Lord gave Jeremiah Johnson. But because I know that we all see in part, I don't just want to, you know, I want to honor other prophets and prophetic voices. Of course, I'll let you know where I got the word from so I don't steal it. I don't like stealing prophetic words. But I want to partner with prophecy, with prophets, to get the word of the Lord out that I think really needs to, and not just share their videos, but get it out, you know, maybe in a wider, you know, influence people that they may not be able to influence, so to speak. I want to honor the prophets by way of even re-prophesying the word of the Lord that God gave them while giving, you know, letting you know, okay, this is who I originally got it from.
But anyway, with all that aside, in this hour, God is... I have been feeling a stirring. And, you know, I thought it was just me listening to and reading the book Killing Kryptonite. But no, this is a... in Greek, it's called a Kairos moment. I believe this is in Kairos. There's Chronos and Kairos. Chronos is just, it's not an opportune time. I can't remember how they describe it, but Kairos, it just means it's God's appointed time. It's a due season. Or as it says in Acts 2:1 about the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. So that was like a Kairos moment, if you will, when they were in the upper room and they were praying in tongues. You know, they were seeking the Lord and allowing, waiting for the baptism and the Holy Spirit to come. But all that aside, just using human or lay people terminology, the baby is due. In this season, the baby that God has been birthing or trying to birth is due, so to speak. And I think that's why we've all been feeling the sense that, hey, I need to pray more, I need to read the word more, I need to get closer to God. Something's about to happen. You know, you can feel it in the spirit realm. And so that is why I wanted to come on here today and preach this word to you about kissing God. Now, I want you to be on the lookout for Sunday, because I'm going to be preaching Sunday as well. Something similar, but it's about being a friend of God. But this is a season of words, whether from me or from other people. I believe this is a season... that God has brought full circle the Fear God Again campaign. I believe God's bringing the fear of the Lord into the church. All right, let's pray. Father God, as an apostolic voice, as one of the voices in the church, as a judge in the courts of heaven, in accordance with what you have called me to do, Father, I release this word out into the church that like never before, Father, the body of Christ will unify in prayer. We will pray, we will fast, we will intercede, we will get to know the word of the Lord. Father, preachers, ministers are going to repent who really are seeking your face. They have been seeking your face and, you know, maybe they've... But anyway, there's going to be repentance. I release, as I feel led, the spirit of repentance into the body of Christ. Not just those that are associated with us. Not just those that listen to this podcast. But Lord, this, I believe, this is even fighting... This has been a sword of your word. A seed of your word has been planted in the spirit realm to fight principalities and powers and that are holding the body of Christ back. Father, I even pray for William Murphy, Lord, and I pray that him and John Lindell and others that are in this entertainment culture, Lord, that you will reel them in, bring them back. Bring them to repentance, Father. I don't want you to have to fight against anyone with the sword. I don't want you to have to remove the lampstand from anyone's church. Okay. So, I'm just going to go with what I feel the Spirit of the Lord saying.
I send plumbline angels. I speak alignment to Oasis Church. I declare that Apostle Tim Sheets and other voices will begin to preach on persecution. As an intercessor, as a partner in their ministry, as I feel the Lord God speaking for me to do, I kind of feel like I'm out of line to do this, but I'm speaking it out in faith. I speak alignment. I come against deceptive spirits who are making them think that they're out of religion when in reality they're probably swinging the pendulum. But I declare sound doctrine shall come out of this church in a way, and not that it hadn't already, but in a way that it has never done before. I declare balance into the body of Christ as a whole. I declare the word and the spirit. I declare that just like Paul, the leaders in the body of Christ are going to say, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I am free of the blood of all men. So, Father, I declare this in the name of Jesus. Bring alignment to your church, Father. As a representative of your kingdom, I send the word that you have put into my heart as a seed. I sow this word as a seed into the earth, into the body of Christ, and I thank you that it will bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Father God, I thank you for sending the hornet out before us to destroy, to do the word, the thing that needs to be done, Lord, concerning any enemies that may be hiding from the body of Christ, any enemies that may be hiding within the church. And I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about demons. And that even human agents may be judged where it needs to be done as well. But mainly I'm talking about demons, that the hornets are being sent to destroy the enemies from among us. To fight those that are hiding, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that it is you who gives victory. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and he will, rest assured, get everything that he died to receive. I keep hearing over and over in my spirit, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, Lord, I release a baptism of the spirit of the fear of the Lord now into the churches. I hear the Lord saying, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. As he said in the book of Revelation, so he is saying now. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Lord says this prophecy is not infallible, but my word is. His written word, the Bible, is infallible. And I do hear him say, don't add to. The Holy Spirit asks the courts of heaven be seated and the books open concerning this. Never mind. The Lord showed me that I was actually in. I was. Just the flow that I was getting, it was like it was a scripture just coming to mind, like from the book of Revelation, but it wasn't. So anyway... I just thank you, Lord, that you are going to send your word, that you have sent your word, and the truth, which is, and that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Father, I seal this word with the signet ring that you've given me in Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for confirming your word with signs and wonders following. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, everybody. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, just go to www.kingdomadvance.family.blog, KINGDOMADVANCE.family.blog. Go to the primary menu and then hit About Us. And on the very bottom, everything except for the phone number will give you the contact information as to where you can contact us. Thank you all very much for listening to this podcast. God bless, and if we don't see you sooner, we will see you Sunday. Bye-bye.